Board Commission meeting to order. It's 4 p.m. on Wednesday, September 17th. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here, ma'am.
Commissioner Hudson?
Present.
Commissioner Martin? Commissioner Leonard?
Here, ma'am.
Commissioner Clasby?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Johnson?
Present. I know Commissioner Morgan is en route. She should be, come back, Morgan. She's already here. Made her presence known.
She, you just remind her that she owes 20 bucks to Little Feet when she walks in.
We'll make sure we collect.
I think we should make it 50.
Second.
All right. It's a motion and a second on the floor. Let's pray about that. Come on, you.
Oh, she just missed it.
50 bucks.
Thank you. We're gonna pray about it.
We're gonna pray she gives 100. I'm so glad.
Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day that we have the opportunity to meet freely and to have an amazing meeting. We ask that you'll please guide and direct them to be able to make good decisions and watch over and protect us. We also pray that you watch over and protect our country with a lot of things that are going on now, that you'll just have your blessings on us. And we also would just ask a special blessing for our first responders that are out there, and just keep them in your safety. Thank you so much for all these things. We ask it all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we've got a full house here, so we'll move right on in the agenda, and we'll have proclamations and special presentation. Chief Langle.
Chairman. There we go. Chairman, board members, it's my privilege to stand before you today to recognize the St. Lucie County Fire District's firefighter challenge team, and to facilitate a check presentation. I'd like to thank Remnant Construction Company for their continued generosity, as well as our other donors whose support highlights the strong bond between community and our fire district. At this time, I'd like to invite up Brandon Noble from Remnant Construction to say a few words and to do the check presentation, and followed by a member of the challenge team to speak.
Thank you, Chief Langle. Brandon Noble, Remnant Construction. We had an opportunity, a friend of mine, Remy DeJusti, sent me a text and said, hey, the challenge team came up short this year on sponsorships. Can you guys help out? So I did the right thing immediately. New phone. Who's this? but no, we were happy to do it. We went back the next morning. We got everyone together. We went out to the subs. We said, what can we do to raise money for these guys? They protect us. They teach New York firefighters how to clean their gear. They go out and train fire stations around the world, and we win national records here. So we want to present this check. Thank you guys for representing St. Lucie County excellence. It was Remnant Construction, Cook Shell, Sunline Civil, Complete Heating and Cool, D&D Quality, and Brown Insurance.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, Remnant, and the subs and sponsors, and I think we'll hear from the team now.
Got it. Sorry about that. I don't know what he hit, but perfect.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, my name is Matt Coney, lieutenant with the St. Louis County Fire District. As always, I always relish this opportunity to brag upon my combat team members. Thank you to our command staff again for the continued support. We operate in a very small little fishbowl. We represent the exemplary efforts of first responders from St. Lucie County, but it's a small pool, and I'm not preaching to the choir when I'm talking about fundraising and how frustrating it could be, because in your positions, you guys are well aware of it. But in this situation, just a brief synopsis, we went to Utah, gold medals from Utah. It was the West Regional. So we had to go out there. We love Salt Lake City. It's always been a good event for us. So we went out there and brought home some hardware. A Southeastern Regional was in Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, and also caveated with the World Police and Fire Games. So it turned into a world challenge where we met the Ukraine national team in the finals again. And it was a photo finish, which we won, but due to a technicality, they got it. But we're going to see them again here very, very soon. So we let them have that one for that for sure. But when it came down to the fundraising spot, we were in a situation where we were not sure we were going to be able to take the A team to nationals to defend our U.S. national championship this year. And Worlds was completely out of the question, but it's at least 7 weeks away. So we still had time to figure that out. So Remy DeGiusti stepped up and made a phone call. He's one of our elite over 40. I know he doesn't look it, but he is setting the standard in that age group right now. He's one of our newest Lions Den inductees. And he stepped up for us because we were in a situation where we weren't sure how we were going to get it done. So for Remnant Construction, Complete Cooling Heating Services, Cook Shell Contractors, D&D Quality Contractors, Sunline Civil Construction, we thank you from the bottom of our heart for facilitating us being able to take the A team out there and just give it one more go to keep this hardware at home. And with that, the gentleman responsible for that, Mr. Remy DeGiusti.
I'm not really a public speaker, so I'm gonna keep this short. I just wanna throw a thank you to not only Remnant Construction, but the department, because they support us a lot. They give us time off. They even cut a check for us at the beginning of the season. So, again, thank you to all that partake.
Thank you. Thank you. Good luck. Continuing the competitions and endeavors. Good luck to you. Absolutely. So we'll move on. I don't think we have any commendations at this point. So we'll now move for approval of the tribe board minutes, both regular and we'll take them one at a time, if you don't mind. So I have a call for motion on regular meeting, August 20th, 2025.
Move approval.
Second. We'll probably second to approve regular minute meetings. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. First public budget hearing, September 3rd, 2025. Motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
We'll probably second to approve the first public budget hearing, September 3rd. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Addition, deletions to the agenda. Anybody want to add anything, subtract?
Move approval.
Second.
Board of Proper Second, set the agenda as printed. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Motion passes. We have the consent agenda. Anything here any commission would like to pull for discussion on consent?
Move approval.
Second.
Board of Proper Second to approve the consent agenda as presented. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Public comments. At this time, the floor is open for public comments. If address fire board, please come forward. I see Captain Kozak. I didn't demote you, did I?
No. Still there.
Okay.
Never know. Maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
How you doing? Captain Kozak, San Luis County Fire District. Overseeing the train division along with several other members of the train division. Today, I'm just bringing in today to see our new 20 new hires that the fire board has brought on right here with the district. For those that are doing the adding out there, there's actually 19 seated. We have one in school today, so we're trying to complete their education, especially with their paramedic. So that's you'll see 19 today. We've been out on the fire grounds, EMS lab, junkyards. I don't know if anybody's noticed lately, it's been pretty still Florida hot, and here we are in September. So today was the nicest day, I feel like, in the last 3 weeks, and everything we did today was inside, so we got no relief. I don't know. It was bad timing on our behalf. But Everything's coming along. We're actually going to see what you see right now. These new hires will actually start hitting the street October the 5th, I believe.
Nice.
We want to get them in here. That way you guys can see them and congratulate them. We appreciate everything that the fire board's doing, bringing all these new hires, which makes a lot more work for the training division, but it's a good thing. We're bringing on personnel here and everything. So other than that, that will be it. Thank you.
Thank you, Captain Kozak, and your staff. Would you please have your staff that's here that's working with you, please stand in one of the
Yeah, it'd be great. Actually, in the back, very back row out there. Well, that's my staff right there, those three right there, and the white. Lieutenant Pressing, Captain Orton, Lieutenant Fontenelle. And for the benefit of everything we do, because it is a lot of work, and we're still running a training division, the district actually works with us, and we actually have personnel that come in from shift work, and they actually spend time on the days. They actually all volunteer up to move into that 40-hour role for the month-long process. Firefighter paramedic Catherine Caldebach and firefighter paramedic Jimmy Mendez right back here. So they actually come in and actually assist us. They're kind of the, I'd say, the everyday personnel out there working with them. And the training division is out there pretty much 90% of the time, but we're still working with paramedics. We're trying to get releases going on, so there's always stuff happening. So we really appreciate when these firefighters actually volunteer. And believe it or not, we have a list of them that actually volunteer on a regular basis and say, hey, I want to come in and work with you guys for the 4 weeks, move to a day schedule, and literally, you know, help to give these individuals what they need and train them. So that's always very appreciative.
Captain, thank you. And thank you, staff, for your time. And now, the customary fashion that I tend to do, we will have your first name. Just want you to have to stand and give us your name, and then you can sit back down. But we'd like to know your name here, starting with the young man here, and we'll work our way across. Yes, sir. Nice and loud so we can hear you.
Just first name?
First name, last name.
William Love, sir.
All right, Mr. Love, welcome.
Glenn Snow.
Didn't hear you. Yes, sir.
Miskina. Tristan Green. Ryan Wellell.
Danielle Ritter. Madeline Cook.
Let's talk that in and work with it.
Jamal Backus. Sebastian Torres.
And coming into the line of service. And so, again, congratulations. Welcome.
Awesome.
Any commissioner would like to say anything?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I could. I want to commend those that volunteer. Our family serving yours, and to see young people continue that tradition is a testament to this organization. So kudos to you guys volunteering. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
So you've just entered the best of the best ranks in the entire county, and I would put our fire district up against any other fire department in the entire nation. So you have joined the best of the best. I know you're going to do great, and no offense to the guys, but I love seeing the girl power out there.
Absolutely.
So congratulations to you all, and may you all be safe.
Yeah, congratulations, and hope you spend your entire career here at St. Lucie County.
Already well said by everyone.
Right. Well, thank you, and thank you for being with us today. And we know there'll be probably a hasty exit. Is that correct? Okay, a little bit. All right. We will proceed on with the agenda. So, no more public comments. Comments from the union representative. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Fire Board and
Chair. Thank you very much. Too many times we come up here, everything's just kind of status quo. As you know, we're still in the middle of our contract, but this is kind of a special thing. As you see on your new business down there, we did ratify our MOU that the district brought forward. I want to really appreciate Chief Lee and his staff for coming forward and creating this. This is definitely a unique thing. My phone has not stopped blowing up because as the fire department works, other departments hear about it. And this is really a great step moving forward to accomplish what our governor wanted us to do, which is get to a 42-hour work week. This is leaps and bounds getting there. Just want to say thank you very much, Fire Chief. My membership is very excited about this. And thank you all for having on the agenda right here. We appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments from Fire Board? And thank you, Chief Lee, for this. And it's great always to hear from the union rep and that the union is behind this and looks like we've hit a home run here and getting this together. So thank you. All right, we don't have any public hearings at this point. That'll be later. We'll move into no unfinished business. I don't see any, but we'll move into new business as Captain Kozak and his team exits. Thank you. See you guys later. New business. Chief Mickles, you're up, sir. Give them a moment here as they make their way out. You can begin.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Johnson, Board, Chief. So before you, you'll see the Enterprise Lease Memo Agreement. Almost a year ago to this day, you all approved the 9 replacements for our white fleet, our Mercy fleet out there, and also 5 SUVs. What I have before you is for 4 more Chevy 1500 pickup trucks through Enterprise, right at roughly just under $1,100 a month. Same terms as the last time, where 60 months, we either keep it or we flip it back to Enterprise. So 3 of these vehicles are slated to go to CRR, 1 additional spot. We have 2 vehicles in CRR now that have roughly almost 200,000 miles. They're getting pumped out right there, and the ongoing costs and maintenance costs with those. And also, if we expand our training and safety division, 1 vehicle for them. So that's before you. Again, through Enterprise and their Sourcewell agreement, it would come out of 180, Fund 181 right there. So 4 1500 Silverados.
Move approval.
Second.
Move to proper second to approve the Enterprise Lease Agreement. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Chief Mickles, you're still with this purchase of 1 Sutton aerial platform.
So yes, thank you. And I want to thank the fire chief for letting us do this right here, at least bring this forward. In the almost 2 years that I've been in here, this is the coolest one to me that's coming before you. So this Sutphin platform right here will really expand our capabilities. This is slated to go to Fire Station 19, if you allow that. You know, the King's Highway, that corridor is growing with big boxes, lots of commercial retail. As of right now, every structure fire that we have in the county, we have to put an aerial on that for ISO. So that means Station 10 off of Dalton Road, Station 5 off Delano, PSL US 1 area, or Seaway Drive. Those 3 apparatus are running around on all fire calls. Station 2 on Seaway Drive is going to every fire call in the north end of the county. This idea right here is to have an aerial out there, Station 19, because the big boxes and also the drawdown on the ISO stuff. So roughly 6 months ago, you all approved us to refurbish a 2007 Pierce Quint. That thing's going to take some time through 10-8, the vendor, the Pierce vendor. I don't have a dead mark of when they will take that truck and when it'll be back to us. And we really don't have a true idea of what that thing will look like. We're going to think it's going to be serviceable, but it's not brand new. So we looked at this last year. Straight sticks, 75-foot sticks that we have now, $1.5, $1.6 million. This price, this truck last year was $1.7 million. Before you today, if we sign this deal, $1.688. If we pay it within 72 hours arrival of South Florida over in Fort Myers, $15,000 off of that. So you're getting a 70-foot platform. This thing, if you know the truck that we have out in St. Lucie West, the platform out there, it's 30 feet less, but all the same capabilities. 2,000 GPM out there, 2 different streams. We can do technical rescue off this thing. This thing, honestly, I sent you a video the other day on Palm Beach County rescued somebody with this thing out of a bucket truck. This thing's a home run for us, honestly. absolute. So like I said, the best thing, I can't believe the chief allowed us to do this. Thank you for that. And if you guys allow us today, this will really increase our capabilities, our firefighting capabilities for ISO and also technical rescue stuff. So before you, $1.68 million, it would come out of 181 fund, 6450.
Right. Questions on this? I have one, but any other questions from the commissioners on this? So this purchase would allow for us, because Station 19 is not built yet, but when will we actually receive this model?
Correct. Station 19 is slated June, July-ish, right, Chief Langle? Then there's a drop-dead date in there. This thing will be roughly completed in January. So the vehicles that we just finalized in Ohio, one is getting shipped down to Florida this Friday. So it's not going to be immediately. It'll be in time of Station 19's grand opening. By the time it gets to South Florida, doing the graphics, the camera systems, all those things, it's going to take some time to get it here. Mm-hmm. But it'll be here for the opening. The demo that you allow us, or should say the refurb, it's not going to make it, unfortunately.
Okay. Any other questions?
Nope. Mr. Chair.
Approval. Second.
Yep. I was going to say with the approval that it should go to 19.
Okay. Is it slated to go to 19? Do we need to put that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir.
It's already slated to go.
Oh, absolutely. It's the graphics are slated for that, absolutely.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor to move and approve. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Project agreement, St. Lucie County North Logistics Building. Chief Langle.
Again, Mr. Chair, board members, before you have a project agreement in front of you for St. Lucie County Logistics North Building, PEMB, which stands for Pre-Engineered Metal Building. In the fiscal year 24-25, the district identified the need to construct a new logistics multi-use building to expand our fleet capacity and enhance operational support. The proposed facility will be approximately 14,000 square feet and will serve as a dedicated storage for fire and EMS apparatus, while also providing flexible space for special events and training. In addition, the building will be designed to function as an overflow or backup for our fleet facility, improving overall resiliency during times of increased demand and emergency operations. Sufficient funds are allocated in account string ending in 6200, 830 project PROJ. To complete the phase of this project, the district has entered into a contract with our construction manager at risk, Paul Jacquin and Sons, Inc., for construction manager risk services, and the project-specific agreement has been submitted for Logistics North multi-use building, which includes a GMP not to exceed $271,818.44. You have the previous actions, the financial impacts that you can review. And a recommendation is staff recommends approval of the specific project agreement for the St. Lucie County Logistics North Expansion Building, PEMB, with a GMP not to exceed $271,818.44 in accordance with our district's purchasing manual and the CMAR master agreement with Paul Jacquin and Sons, Inc.
Any questions on this? We entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, is this, how hurricane proof is this kind of building?
Excuse me, madam?
How hurricane-proof is this kind of building?
It's a metal concrete building, hardened. It will have hurricane. It's built to the same standards as our existing fleet building that we just updated with hardened infrastructure with impact windows.
Okay.
Replacing the older windows of 20 years ago.
It's going to be substantial.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I remember, I read the engineering on it. I believe it was slated to 180 miles an hour. So.
That'll do. Yeah. Thank you. I move approval.
All right. I move approval. Second on the project agreement with PMB. All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Attorney Sable, you're up for a mental health benefit memorandum of understanding.
So, Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes, sir. Chief.
So, this is a brainchild of mine here with the governor and our legislature in the state. This was one of our move the firefighter work schedule. Contract. We're pretty much done with our current year, our next year's budget for the most part. But I wanted to do something, and for many reasons, right? One do the right thing for our firefighters, to go along with what the state is intending to do. And to do that with the restrictions of the budget we have and everything else, I had to make a lot of concessions with it and put a lot of really safeguards in place for it and develop it as something that since today that you know, that the local and the membership voted, you know, almost unanimously to pass. So I do want to thank the local and all the firefighters out there, because it's not what they wanted, but I think that they understand what they're getting, and I think it's a win all the way across the board.
Yes, Madam Attorney.
In furtherance of the St. Lucie County Fire District's commitment to reduce burnout and address mental health concerns, including post-traumatic stress disorder for firefighters and telecommunicators, and in acknowledgement of Florida House Bill 929, signed into law by Governor DeSantis on June 5, 2025, the Fire District and the Union have tentatively agreed on a new 9-month pilot program to provide dedicated district-assigned time away from duty for rest and recovery, ensuring that mental health is treated with the same seriousness as physical readiness. This MOU was ratified by the firefighters on September 12, 2025. A copy of the MOU is included as backup to this memorandum. This memorandum is a signed agreement and addendum to the 23-26 collective bargaining agreement. It shall be binding upon both parties upon ratification, but shall not alter, amend, or otherwise modify the existing articles of agreement except as expressly provided herein. This MOU will sunset on September 30th, 2026, and shall not create past practice or precedent. Staff recommends the Fire Board execute and ratify this MOU effective January 1st, 2026, as collectively bargained, unless otherwise specifically stated herein.
Motion for approval.
Second.
Move from second. Any questions on this? Anybody have any questions? All right. Seeing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. And thank you, Chief, for the great work on this and in this program. And hopefully it really works for our firefighters. All right. We'll move on to fire board resolutions. We have resolution number 780-25, budget amendment number 3. Mr. Bajoran.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Per the Fire District's financial policy 6.0.2, once the annual audit is completed, staff will prepare a budget resolution to adjust the beginning balance from the estimated to the actual. That's actually in the policy. And the audit report was presented at the last meeting. And so what this does is it officially adjusts the budget per the, you know, it's a compliance issue, really. And so I've got a resolution that I'll read, but I did want to explain that the adjustment here has already been incorporated in all of our estimates. We didn't wait until the audit report. You know, we're looking at the actual income statement and net end results, and so there's no budgetary change to this. The estimates through September 30 of 2026 will not be changed because of this action. So the resolution.
So, Board, we need a motion to set this resolution.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and proper second to approve resolution number 780-25. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Resolution number 781-25, special events. Chief Cross.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, board members. Before you have a resolution,
is your microphone on?
Oh, I thought I was loud enough. Before you have a resolution related to special event planning and assessment, one of the needs of the community as we continue to grow is to ensure that we not only identify these events, that we assess them for proper public safety, and then provide a mechanism to where we're able to staff those appropriately. Within Chapter 633 and Florida Fire Prevention Code, the authority to be able to do this is entailed in that, but this resolution spells out the exact process. And a couple of things to note, I don't want to read the entire thing, it's quite lengthy. One of the concerns when you have one of these policies and resolutions that go along with it is the definitions of what something like civilian medical personnel is. For us, we've defined that as someone that's 18 years old, they have CPR training and access to an AED. The intent here is not for the fire district to be at all of these events. In fact, the goal of us is only to be at events that are identified as high or extreme risk. So the goal is to provide definitions for when it's appropriate to have someone that has CPR and an AED in order to lower costs. We understand that you have a lot of community members that have these events. It is in no means for us to be able to permit all of these events. In fact, if it's not a high or extreme risk event, there is no permitting fee at all. So it'll come in through the Community Risk Reduction Division. We'll assess it. Port St. Lucie has adopted a similar risk rating. It talks about type of day, how long the event is, whether there's alcohol served, the age of attendees. All of that information came from a University of Florida study that assessed about 80 different mass events, and they looked at the patient injury illness rate and looked at that, and that's how that scoring guide has come up. And of course, within the resolution, it provides the fire chief with broad latitude to amend those procedures. So if we're on the cusp, obviously there's communication that can occur between the vendor who's trying to do the event and the fire district, and we have some flexibility to move around there. But the ultimate goal was to make sure that not only can we handle general illness or injuries that are at these events, but also, God forbid, a mass casualty incident, and make sure that jurisdiction-wide, we have those people in place.
That's great.
So maybe a couple questions here, Board, if we're clear.
I have a couple, yeah. So I shared this with our event people at the City of Fort Pierce because I wanted to know kind of how it affected them. I don't even know what policies they have in place and how they determine, and I was concerned that this would set a standard that if they didn't meet it, it would be some... I just wasn't sure how much the umbrella organization of the fire district was going to be over local events. And so and you're saying high risk events, and that would be something that they could consult with the fire district and say, this is going to happen here. This is what we plan. I mean, is this something that that you'll be working with local governments? So, because I'm not sure, I mean, I'm really not sure what our own event people have in terms of a way of policy, but I'm going to find that I've shared it with them.
And absolutely, that's one of the problems that we've run into, is that sometimes people don't know if they need a permit, when they need a permit. And so typically the trigger has been for us food trucks. Obviously we need to inspect those. We've found a number of gas leaks within those. Of course, that's always a risk. So we're out there if there's food trucks, but right. If there isn't, sometimes we don't know about that.
Right.
Port St. Lucie has moved forward with an event planner, and now we have a lot of notification from those, and we're like, wow, there's a lot of events going on we didn't know about that did involve food trucks. So the goal is to work with the municipalities to kind of give them a pathway, and it'll look unique to Fort Pierce County PSL. We're at every planning event for PSL. We have somebody from our staff that's there. So that might be something that we'll do with you as well. I checked on most of the events. When I mean high or extreme risk, I'm talking 4th of July, Freedom Fest, large parades. The Green Market would fall into a medium risk. And at that point, it's going to be a recommendation in this that you have a first aid person that has access to AED, and we're not involved. There's no.
Are you talking about the Green Market?
The Green Market, right.
So Farmers Market?
Farmers Market, downtown Fort Pierce.
Okay.
It's kind of borderline, but that's one of those ones that we can work with. And based off where our station location is and where we're at, we'll work through all of those. But we're really talking about the major, major events. I think 98% of the events occurring in the county are going to fall into no permitting cost. We just want to know about it and know what's going on there, and then you're good to go. Graduations, things like that will all fall under having civilian medical personnel if you need it. You can always request us, but we're not. The other part of this is the fee schedule, which was adopted off of FEMA's rates, and they established that in 2022. They're supposed to do it every year. They haven't. So those are older rates, but we kind of stayed mostly in line with what other agencies in the area would be charging for that. So they're a little bit below that.
Do we have a copy of those rates up there, Vicki? And this, can you scroll?
Should be on right there on one page one of the policy, if that was included. If it wasn't, okay.
Yes, please. I just want to make sure that we are understanding exactly.
And the rates remain pretty much unchanged from what we do for details now. Mm-hmm. There were the only new addition is that typically we have a paramedic firefighter rate, On these large events, because there's multiple units there, we need to have a fire officer and or a chief officer there. Mm-hmm. Previously, that wasn't really something that we cost recoup for. It was just the person on duty was. Well, you can imagine on 4th of July, when there are three simultaneously events in the county that all require an incident command structure, we had no means of pulling all of our battalion chiefs to cover those. So we may need to bring people in. And that's the main change there. But Vicki can provide you with that. And there's also the flexibility for the fire chief to reassess those and reestablish them when he or she sees fit.
So what we have here, Chief Krauss, just so we understand, is that if an event was taking place and it came to the level that it required, this is the rate per hour that it would be suggested that these large events take on. So they have to build that into their destruction to make sure personnel's on hand.
Yes, and that's what's been occurring. Just through a different process, there's really no change other than we're formally establishing it. And we had a great success working with the parade in downtown Fort Pierce. We're all on board. It's just kind of now that we have a resolution that says this is what we need, and it brings everybody, all municipalities, on the same page with us.
And do you see a change in these rates? You said they're on a little higher than what we see here. Maybe I heard you say that.
So what I was saying is that we did increase the rate for firefighter, paramedic. It was 45 previously. It's now 50. And then the role of officer, chief officer, and fire inspector weren't previously included, and those are. And that's basically just recovering it.
Got it. All right.
Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, I want to thank chief. I had asked for this, I believe, a year and a half to 2 years ago. After the incident occurred in Fort Pierce, as well as what happened over at Chili Cook-Off, we were at a lot of events, and it was very disconcerting the fact that you have thousands upon thousands of people and there was no EMS that was required to be there. I want to personally thank staff. I want to thank everybody doing it. I want to thank the board for allowing that to happen. It is interesting we're charging somebody $50 an hour. I believe, don't our paramedics make more than that per hour when it all comes down to it? Let me just say it.
There's zero.
So in case anybody has any pushback on that, you might just want to say,
it is zero financial gain for us. It's just simply cost recovery. An inspector at $50 an hour that comes out to assess that is just a wash for us.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
So thank you, Commissioner Leonard, and I'm 100% in favor of this. We need to have these policies in place. We need to be charging. Public safety should not be free all the time. And in light of everything that's going on in our country and our world, does happen also sometimes, unfortunately, at the local level, which in Port St. Lucie we have seen recently in the last couple weeks. You can't put a price on safety. Our PD is redoing all of our safety protocols. There's going to be a lot more security measures in place. And so aligning together, especially as it relates to events and making sure there's enough people working there. We've had those issues with the PD, thousands and thousands of people, and you have three people working. That doesn't cut it. You can't have thousands and thousands of people and three officers there, and then God forbid something happens, you have minimal staff. How many people is it going to take? How long is it going to take to get so many people over to these events to actually save a life or help somebody who's injured? So I'm 100% on board with this.
And I just want to say thank you for your people and helping us. Obviously, we've been working together on this and sharing that. And also to our training division, we reworked the way we trained our personnel for mass casualty incidents in a framework that allows us to get people off scene quicker.
Yep.
So it's been a cumulative approach to this to make sure that we're ready when these things happen. It's not about getting people, it's getting equipment. And getting access to the hospitals, and everybody is really in this community, from the hospitals to the individual emergency management divisions, has been very, very helpful in this process.
We still have the small town feel, but we can't have a small town mentality anymore. If anything has shown us that, we see it, and we have to make changes.
No town can have a small town.
Right. We have to make changes in order to meet needs and demands.
How about this end of it? I echo that. I think that we need to begin to bring our community along, too. I echo where Mayor Hudson's at, and just want to make sure where our staff understands, you know, we're not trying to be punitive to people doing events, but we also have to have appropriate personnel if we anticipate these larger crowds so that we are prepared in case something does happen. And I think that, you know, we should have that conversation. And I can just think of some events where if only maybe there was personnel close enough, maybe the things could have been a little different than how they went. So thank you for bringing this forward. Thank you, Commissioner, for making sure you stayed on top of this. And we have a new resolution that we're getting ready to enact that will make our community safer. So with that, I'll take a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Move approval is second that we approve this resolution. Resolution 781-25, special events. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. And resolution number 78-25, Fire Prevention Month. Chief Carter.
I was to say that if anybody wants to have somebody reach out to the Community Risk Reduction Division for us to set up a meeting to coordinate with this, please feel free to do so.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Fire Prevention. I think I promoted you. Yes. we'll reflect that in play. Treasurer, just get that.
Take care of that.
Thank you very much. Well, good afternoon, members of the board. I hope that all of you are doing well today. My name is Stacy Carter. I am the fire and life safety educator here at the Fire District. And yes, we have a new theme for the month of October for fire prevention. So I'm going to read the resolution. This is going to specifically proclaiming October as Fire Prevention Month. Whereas the St. Lucie County Fire District is committed to ensuring the safety and security of all those living in and visiting our area. And whereas fire remains a serious public safety concern, both locally and nationally, and the presence of lithium-ion batteries in many household devices introduces unique fire risks. And whereas most of the electronics used in homes daily, including smartphones, tablets, laptops, power tools, e-bikes, e-scooters, and toys are powered by lithium-ion batteries, which if misused, damaged, or improperly charged can overheat, start a fire, or explode. And whereas the National Fire Protection Association reports an increase in battery-related fires, underscoring the need for public education on the safe use of lithium-ion batteries. And whereas residents should follow three key calls to action: buy only listed products, charge batteries safely, and recycle them responsibly to prevent battery-related fires. And whereas lithium-ion batteries store a large amount of energy in a small space, and improper use, such as overcharging, using off-brand chargers without safety certification, or exposing batteries to damage can result in a fire or explosion. And whereas the proper disposal and recycling of lithium-ion batteries help prevent environmental hazards and reduce fire risks in the home and community. And whereas St. Lucie County Fire District first responders are dedicated to reducing the occurrence of fires through prevention, safety education, and community outreach. And whereas the 2025 Fire Prevention Month theme, Charge Into Fire Safety, Lithium-Ion Batteries in Your Home, serves to remind us of the importance of using, charging, and recycling lithium-ion batteries safely to reduce the risk of fires in homes and communities. And whereas St. Lucie County Fire District observed Fire Prevention Week October 5th, 2025 through October 11th, 2025. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the St. Lucie County Fire District as follows. The Fire Board does hereby proclaim October 1st, 2025 through October 31st, 2025 as Fire Prevention Month in St. Lucie County, Florida, to participate in the many public safety and fire prevention activities and efforts throughout St. Lucie County, seeking to reduce the great loss of life and property caused by fires offered during the Fire Prevention Month of 2025, and hereby request the cooperation of news media, radio, television, and newspapers to publicize and resolution and give full publicity thereof. This resolution shall take effect immediately upon its adoption.
Support. We have before us this resolution to adopt. What's the pleasure?
Move approval.
Second.
Move and proper second to adopt resolution 782-25, Fire Prevention Month. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Congratulations and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for all that you do. All right. We are moving on at the agenda. We'll now have comments from Fire Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you notice under the activity report, has a section on the bottom that says other pertinent information. So recently, we had one of our maintenance staff retire suddenly, and his primary job was janitorial services around this building, small books. And in that process, Chief Michaels, Chief Cristaldi, and others in admin thought, you know, we could probably do this cheaper if we actually hired out and do have a civilian company. So they did. They got three quotes and ultimately decided on a purchase. It is like $60,000. It's in my purview, but things of this size, and when we do things with a contract of that nature, I think the board should be aware, even though you may not have to vote on it. So I have that section on the bottom and just for your information. Salary for benefits and everything else, that employee would make well over $100,000 when you include everything. And I think this came in at 60 and change.
Okay.
Great.
They'll be here like 4 days a week, so it's still comparable, and I think it's an asset to us here and a good thing for taxpayers.
Great.
All right.
And I do have one other thing. So you had 21 new hires in here this morning, or 20?
20.
Get used to that look. Over the MOU and Station 19 right around the corner. So these new hires will fill the void of Station 20 opening up here in a few weeks. And it's going to be a regular thing here from next year or so.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Very well.
Great.
All right. Comments by the clerk
treasurer? Yes, thank you. So our fiscal year ends September 30th, so we're charging toward fiscal year end. But we will, we have activities that occur after September 30th that get pulled back in, accruals, revenue and expenditure accruals. So usually 45 to 60 days later, after that, we will, you know, really close the books for audit. So after that, I'll be bringing actual fund balance amounts because everything right now is estimated, of course. But I did want to share that impact fee collections through today, what's been posted through today, because I provided an update in July. We are at $2,995,000, which is $1.3 million below where we were last year. So we did see a 30% reduction in impact fees in the 24-25 year, unless we get some, you know, funds that come in October that we would accrue back. But I looked at prior history and didn't see some big numbers there. So I just wanted to share that update with you.
Yes. Mr. Chair, when's the last time we looked at impact fees here? How many years has it been? Was it last year or the year before? I can't remember. Oh, we're doing it right now again? Okay, good. Because we have more stations to plan, and if we're going to keep seeing a low, we're going to have trouble paying for this new stations that we need. So I'd like to... I'm glad we're reviewing that again. Let's just say that.
All right. Clerk, Council District Attorney.
Nothing further from me.
Okay. Comments from the board?
Mr. Chair, so I was having some conversations with some retired fire district firefighters, and they were asking if there could be more volunteer opportunities for them to come in and still be a part of the organization somehow. And I know we do the Thanksgiving and Christmas, that sort of thing, but they were asking if there was any sort of training they could help with on some level. You know, they have 20 plus years experience, some of them, and you know, some of them don't really have a lot to do. There's loneliness that happens out there, and they would still like to be a part of the organization somehow. So I said I would mention it, so I am, and just something to consider.
Chair, I just wanted to give a shout out to Chief Krause, thank him for coming on Coffee with the Chair this month so that we could get Community Connect out there even more. So just wanted to give a quick shout out. I think Chief Krause, you came out like 2 months ago and did it with one of the council members, correct? Okay, great.
Madam Mayor, anything on that?
Coffee with the Mayor is Friday. You can come there.
Yes, please come Coffee with the Mayor. I think she'd be
exactly.
Happy there.
Yeah. I'm spreading. We're spreading the word.
We'll spread the word.
The chair and I are both spreading the word in Fort Pierce. I did it yesterday with the Fort Pierce Utilities Authority too.
We would love to have updates quarterly or every 6 months or so, just how we're doing, but there's some great opportunities.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Anything on that?
One other thing. Yes. So, Chief Krause, I'm going to have Brandon get with you because I start my circuit of going back out to the communities in January. So it'll be good if you can tag along and then get this information because usually like between 200 and 300 people in a room in each community, especially out in the tradition area. So that would be wonderful.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Since we've mentioned all these coffee things, if you wanted to crash coffee with a cop, it's going to be at Wawa on October 1st in Fort Pierce. I've seen them advertising that, so just throwing that out.
All right. Do we have any determination excuse apps? I think we were perfect. Last for our board meeting, everything was good. I don't think we have determination needed, do we? All right. Well, yes, we do.
Oh, no. The budget.
The budget, yeah.
Tentative budget.
Yeah. 5:01, we got 10 minutes.
Yep. Right.
So we will adjourn this meeting now at 4:51, and you have a break until 5:01.
Yay! Got it. Yippee.
Good. Hang on.
The meeting's over, I know, but Chief Michaels has a
announcement.
There you go.
$50.
We got money coming a little bit here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I got 5:01, so I'm going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. This is the St. Louis County Fire District. Final public hearing, fiscal year 25-26 budget. Call the roll, please.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here, ma'am.
Commissioner Hudson?
Present.
Commissioner Martin?
Here, ma'am.
Commissioner Leonard?
Here, ma'am.
Commissioner Clasby?
Yes, ma'am.
Commissioner Morgan? Commissioner Johnson?
Present. Commissioner Morgan will be joining us shortly. Please stand with me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
$50.
You collected $100.
Yep, $100.
$100.
$100.
I made it.
We motioned for $200 while you were gone.
Yeah, well.
Second.
I'm the bid bell. I'm going to bring in more than that.
All right, so we will now go to our clerk treasurer for the summary fiscal year 25-26 budget.
Thank you, sir. The presentation is identical to what we've seen multiple times. It's primarily for public consideration, share the information for public prior to the opening of the public hearing. So there's some duplication of materials, information, and the presentation is similar or identical to some of the information that's in the resolution. So I'll begin. So the 25-26, I'm calling it preliminary because it hasn't been approved yet, but the first public hearing that we had 2 weeks ago, everything in that was referred to as tentative, and then after tonight's meeting, everything that whatever is approved is going to be considered final. Of course, we can amend the budget throughout the year, so final is a little bit of a misnomer, but that's the way the state has us do it. So this is the preliminary budget revenues and beginning fund balances broken down by fund group. Same as the last presentation, the general fund is the largest portion. Ambulance billing is our number two revenue source, and then emergency reserve is a big chunk of the total of 194,478,882. We've talked about this before, impacts on the 25-26 budget, new construction, renovation, and remodeling planned in the 25-26 budget year. Some apparatus which does not include the new engine that was approved this evening, but still a lot of apparatus in the pipeline. And then we've got on the operational budget, we have some staffing increases, additional positions. We saw 20 new firefighters here today. There's also a 3% salary adjustment, cost of living adjustment that goes into effect October 1 that's per the existing collective bargaining agreement. Total expenditures by category, salaries and benefits, no big surprise there, are the largest. Capital is a pretty large item. Debt service is much smaller, and it is declining, which is a good thing. And then operating is all the other things that support the district. You know, operations, it's kind of self-describing. And then trends, incident counts by year, we are out in the community in an increasing manner. Pretty significant trend line there. Taxable value, we've talked about this. It's still going up, but the rate of increase is declining for in 2024, 12.7%. 2023, it was 17%. 2022, 17%. And this year, it was 11.3%. So the lowest in 1, 2, 3, 4 years. And then I mentioned impact fees in the board meeting. This has been updated with the amount collected through today, posted through today. So negative trend on impact fees also. We talked about this previously, the delays in apparatus arriving. So we're having to place purchase orders way in advance. And if, you know, if we don't have the funds to pay for it at the time we place the order, we're crossing our fingers that it's not arriving prior to us receiving those additional impact fees. There are options where we can have inter-fund loans. The general fund can loan capital fund funds temporarily, and then when those funds come in, we can reimburse. But still, there's a need to be way ahead of the equipment need in placing these orders, having the budget available. So for the millage rate, the proposed rate for the final millage rate is 3.0000 mils. In 24-25, ad valorem proceeds were $120,734,671. So that results in a calculated rollback rate of 2.7988. And that would generate $125,396,244. I mentioned at the last public hearing the reason that that does not equal the $120,734,000 is because we've had additional properties that came online that are not in the calculation of the rollback rate, but then you multiply the rollback rate times the current total value. Hopefully that makes sense. The tentative rate or final rate, proposed rate for 25-26 is the 3.000 mils. That would generate $134,410,723. Impact on an average homeowner, we've got these values from the property appraiser's office, a single family home. Keeping the mills at 3 mils, the annual increase last year compared to this year is $46.33 on average, keeping the millage at 3.0000 mils. And I did want to make sure I mentioned the rollback rate, 2.7988 is 7%. I've got it in the resolution, but I did want to state it here. 7.19%, the 3.0's proposed rate is 7.19% greater than the rollback rate. And that's it.
Okay. All right, thank you, Clerk Treasurer. So Board, what we're going to do now, we will move into the public hearing of the portion of our agenda. So we want to open the floor now for a public hearing. If anyone would like to make a comment concerning the 25-26 millage or the 25-26 budget, please come forward and state your name and speak into the microphone. Anyone want to come in? All right, seeing no movement, I'm going to close the public hearing and move on with the agenda. But we're going to take this in steps here, Board, which is first step is setting the final millage rate for 25-26. So I'm going to have the reading of the final millage rate resolution. clerk.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we'll have board discussion and we'll open it up.
A resolution of the Board of Commissioners for the St. Lucie County Fire District of St. Lucie County, Florida, adopting the final levy of ad valorem taxes for the fiscal year 2025-2026 and providing for an effective date. Whereas the gross taxable value for operating purposes not exempt from taxation within St. Lucie County has been certified by the county property appraiser to the St. Lucie County Fire District as $44,803,574,281. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Commissioners for the St. Lucie County Fire District of St. Lucie County, Florida, that the FY 2025-2026 final operating millage rate for the St. Lucie County Fire District is hereby adopted at 3.0000 mills, which is higher than the rollback rate of 2.7988, as computed pursuant to Section 200.065(1) Florida statutes by 7.19%. This resolution shall take effect immediately upon its adoption.
Okay, Board, any discussion on that? We'll call for a motion to adopt.
Move approval.
Second.
Move to the second that we adopt Resolution 783-25. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. All right, so the millage rate for fiscal year has been set at 3.000. We'll now set a fiscal year 2025-26 final budget. We'll have the reading of that final budget resolution by Clerk Treasurer.
Yeah, thank you. Resolution number 784-25, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners for the St. Lucie County Fire District of St. Lucie County, Florida, adopting the final budget for fiscal year 2025-2026 and providing for an effective date. Whereas the Board of Commissioners for the St. Lucie County Fire District of St. Lucie County, Florida, set forth the appropriations and revenue estimate for the budget for fiscal year 2025-2026 in the amount of $194,478,882. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Commissioners for the St. Lucie County Fire District that the FY 2025-2026 final budget is adopted. Funds are listed with amounts. Again, the total budget is $194,478,882. This resolution shall take effect immediately upon its adoption. That it shall be the duty of the clerk treasurer of this board to set up the aforesaid appropriation of revenues and expenses in the accounting records of the board and keep such accounts thereof as required and directed by the board. Duly passed and adopted at a public hearing by the Board of Commissioners for St. Lucie County Fire District this 17th day of September 2025.
Any discussion by the board? Call for adoption.
Move approval.
Second.
Move the proper second to adopt Resolution 784-25. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Fiscal budget for fiscal year 2025-26 has been set at $194,478,882. Well, that's all that we have on our agenda to come before. I'll call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. I've been there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's in Spain.
It's beautiful. I was just going to ask where it was at.
We stayed like right there.
That's awesome.
A place called Ronda.
Jim, is it?
Ronda.
Ronda?
Yeah, this is like.
Don't spend it all in one place.
16th century.
Don't spend it all in one place.
That was my honeymoon.
That's awesome.
Spent more on my divorce. She spent more on the divorce.
Right.
Thank you. Nice and smooth.
Well, you almost.
You have plenty of time.
No, it's over. It's done.
I just, I'm just, I know.